Our next public hearing is known as subdivision 2013-9, the applicant being Louis J. and Antoinette Perry.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 5 acres into 4 lots, and also requesting a waiver from the street design and forested buffer requirements, and being located north of Route 64 and across from Route 454C, which is identified on the tax maps as tax map ID District 532, map 7, parcel 27.14. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any comments relating to the Technical Advisory Committee review of this application.
Mr. Chairman, this application was not reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee since they were asking for a waiver of the street design requirements. On October 14th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. It's been in the file. That booklet contains the qualifications of 2 employees from Pannoni Associates, a copy of the 2012 orthophoto map, a minor subdivision plan, a lot survey plan that was prepared in March of 1991, another minor subdivision plan. The applicant's addressed items referenced in 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance. There's also a letter of no objection from DelDOT dated August 9th of 2013. There's a Denrec septic soil feasibility study statement dated May 8th of 2013. Copies of the soil maps, the Elliott Nichols tax ditch map, the county zoning map, copy of the 2010 state strategies and investment levels map, a 2006 soil classification map, and a USGS topographic map. And as I said, that's been in the file. It's part of the record. On October 22nd, we received a memorandum from the county engineering department, utility planning division, project is not located in a current county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. It's located in the Western Sussex planning area number 4. Makes reference to individual on-site septic systems being proposed to serve the subdivision. At this time, the proposed subdivision is not in an area where Sussex County currently has a schedule to provide central sewer service, and a concept plan was not required. And as I said in the exhibit booklet, which we also received a septic feasibility statement and the DelDOT letter of no objection. We received 2 letters in opposition to this application. I'll pass those down for your review. In summary, they were basically opposed to the loss of farmland, and they objected to the requested waiver of the street design and the forested buffer. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. And as I've mentioned before, if anyone has any interest in what's up here on the user boards, or Mr. Davidson, is that pretty much the same thing? You're welcome to go up and take a peek, but we ask you not to have any conversations up there. And the chair recognizes Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson. I am a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates. We are also the consulting engineers for the project. I'm here tonight on behalf of Mr. Anthony Perry and his sister. Mr. Perry is with me tonight. I'm sitting up here in the front. Mr. Perry and his sister inherited the property from their parents, Louis and Antoinette Perry. The property is 5 acres and was part of a larger tract of land that was previously subdivided by the Nero family. The property is described as tax map 532, map 7, parcel 27.14. Mr. Perry's parents purchased the land from Annette Nero Stellhorn and Antonio Nero back in 1991. And there were no restrictions placed in the deed that would not allow Mr. Perry and his sister to file this subdivision application. property, on the east side of this property is another 5-acre parcel that is owned by Mr. Perry's aunt. And on the west side of the subject property is also another 5-acre parcel that was part of the previous subdivision by, I believe, by the Nero family. And on the north side is a larger tract of land. The subject property is located on Whitesville Road and is directly across from August Road and is approximately 2 miles east of U.S. Route 13. The property is currently being farmed. We are proposing 3 lots with the remaining lands parcel, and because this parcel was previously part of a subdivision, we are here tonight presenting this application as part of the public hearing for the commission's approval. The smallest lot size on this property, and this property it has been subdivided in four, it is approximately 930 feet in length, starting going in a northerly direction from Whitesville Road. But the smallest lot size is just over 3/4 acres and is at the rear of this subject property. The largest lot being 1.4 acres and the remaining lands being 1.41 acres. The two waivers being requested tonight is first the Sussex County is a waiver from the Sussex County road requirement. We're proposing a 50-foot easement through the lots, similar to other applications when 3 lots and remaining lands are being requested. So on the west side, all the lots will abut the easterly boundary line for the subject property, and a 50-foot easement has been created along the length of the easterly property line. Inside that length will be a driveway that will survey all four of the properties. That was what was presented. We presented that before DLDOT, in the booklet is a letter of no objection for DLDOT surveying. So it'll be a single access to all 4 lots to Whitesville Road. The second waiver is a request for the 20-foot landscape buffer as required in 99-5, and it's just in the vicinity of the tax ditch easement. If you'll notice on the plans that were submitted and on this plan here that we are proposing this 20-foot wide proposed landscape buffer along the westerly side of the property line and then along the northerly side as required in 99-5. But we do have a tax ditch that comes through the property. In that tax ditch, we have an 80-foot, and I do have an aerial in the booklet, and this aerial is shown right here. There is an 80-foot maintenance easement for that tax ditch. And we received a request from Mr. Matt Grabowski of the Deneric Division of Watershed Stewardship asking that we not plant the required landscaping within their maintenance easement. So that is the request that we're asking for, is just for this portion of the subdivision. In the booklet, I've supplied my comments to the provisions of 99-9C, and I'll just quickly review those provisions. With the integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain, the proposed subdivision was planned to be consistent with the uses allowed in AR1 zoning and is compatible with the surrounding developments. And special attention was focused on the preservation of natural topographic features and the integration of development into the existing terrain, as well as the pattern of the existing developments that are in the area. Inside the booklet, there's an aerial map showing what this area is consistent of. It's a little bit larger scale than this, or smaller scale, and it shows the area being predominantly single-family housing. Minimal use of the wetlands. There are no wetlands on this site, and we did plan this subdivision around the tax ditch, and we were able to plan it around the 80-foot tax ditch easement as well. There are no floodplains on this property. This property is outside the Zone X, the 500-year floodplain. Preservation in natural and historical features. The subdivision will preserve the tax ditch maintenance easement that has been established along the tax ditch and runs through the middle of the property And as well as what we provided for and what was asked for by the Tax Ditch Association was an extra 15-foot building restriction line from that tax ditch maintenance easement. That way, no sheds or anything could get built up next to that easement line. So we have preserved an additional 15-foot BRL from the easement. The proposed subdivision has established the 20-foot forested landscape buffer strip, which is exclusive of all the lots. None of the lot lines are within this 20-foot forested buffer, as required under 99-5 of the subdivision code. There are no trees on the subject property, and there will be little to no soil removal or grade changes within this subdivision. And again, I go back to the screening of objectionable features, the neighboring properties. Again, we provide the code does require this 20-foot buffer, and we are providing it, and again, asking for the waiver along the maintenance easement. Water supply will be, each lot will be served by an individual on-site well. Each lot will also have a septic for each of the lots, and we have provided inside the booklet the approved feasibility study by Denerec for each one of the lots. With the prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater, the existing farm field will be changed to single-family lots. Thus, each lot will create grassed lawns and will help mitigate any types of the runoffs that come off from a farm field. It'll also help protect the tax ditch that is running through this by planting each one of these lots with grass lawns. And again, with that is, it would also minimize the erosion and sedimentation leaving this site by changing this from a farm field to to individual single family lots. With the provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement, the 50-foot easement has been established, again, across all four lots. Each lot will have access to that 50-foot, thus only allowing one access to Whitesville Road from this proposed development. The housing that will be permitted in this development will enhance and complement the natural setting of this community and will increase the value over time. And we don't see that the property values will be decreased by this development. The preservation and conservation of farmland, the larger lot sizes and the 20-foot landscape buffer around the site will help preserve the adjacent farmland. Again, our minimum lot size being 0.77 acres and our largest lot size being approximately 1.5 acres. The effects on schools, the four lots will have a positive benefit on schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues through the property taxes. There will be no effect on area roadways. Again, we've got the DLDOT has issued a letter of no objection, and there are no negative effect on the area adjacent roadways with this proposal. And the development provides for low-density housing within an area that's predominantly having GR zoning. Again, inside the booklet, I provided a zoning map, and you can see that a good portion, although not shown on this, is a good portion of the subdivision of this area that's towards the north of this piece of property is zoned GR. And the land use change, again, from the farm field to the grass lots will reduce the runoff to the existing tax ditch. So the effect on the area, there will be no negative effects on the area waterways. And with that concludes my presentation. Entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. And we will start with Mr. Ross.
You say that the buffer just on the 80-foot easement of the ditch, but the buffer adjacent to the road, the 50-foot easement, is that part of your variance request? 20-foot? I don't notice a 20-foot buffer along that side of the boundary. You've got it all the way up to the easement, and I understand.
I believe the regulation states that the buffer when it has, I mean, along the adjacent, it's for the adjacent boundary line, and I think it's the regulation.
Well, that's an adjacent boundary line, right?
That's correct. And it says here the 20-foot forestry and landscape buffer strip is not required to be installed in those portions of the subdivision perimeter where, which represent the width of a right-of-way connector and or street. So we're, based on how I'm reading, that's paragraph I.
Yeah, I got to talk to Lawrence and Shane probably after the meeting on how that's handled, because the width would mean like an entrance. Obviously, you can't have a buffer where there's an entrance going in because the road's going to dissect it, but just to make sure that's how it's been interpreted by planning and zoning in the past.
The intent was along the front, the way I remember the intent. And what if you read the definition of a forested, and I'll just short phrase it, but it makes reference to a strip of land not less than 20 feet in width, and it gives some exclusions. Exclusive of any residential lot, stormwater management facilities, open space, recreational amenities, wastewater treatment or disposal, water treatment facilities, streets, and it continues.
So it would include streets?
No, it's not. It's not an exclusion. That's it's not supposed to be. Those issues aren't supposed to be within that buffer.
Within the buffer, yeah.
Within the buffer.
It could be a 20-foot buffer on the easterly side of the street and inset 20-foot.
Right.
Right.
So.
He's asking for an exception or a waiver.
For a waiver. And, and the commission does have the ability to grant waivers under other sections of the subdivision code.
But as I understand it, then the variance request is not just for the 80-foot ditch easement. It's also for the buffer along that border adjacent to the entrance, the roadway.
If that's how it's being interpolated by the commission and the county.
I just heard what they said.
I know, but as I read I think I read it a little bit. I mean, I interpret it a little bit differently, but if that's the case, I mean, I'm not going to debate.
Okay. And then the road itself, is there a maintenance agreement? What kind of road do you plan on putting in? You're asking for a variance from county road specifications. What road do you plan to install, and is there a maintenance agreement? How that is that going to be treated?
If we're successful in getting the approval prior to the transferring of the lots, Mr. Perry will put together a maintenance agreement for each of the lots that would have to share into the maintenance. It's much like some of the other smaller subdivisions that we've done in the past, where each lot would be required to participate. What we're asking is because of the length of 930 feet, that having to build 20-foot wide roadway with the requirements that are set forth, the four lots just doesn't the value of the four lots just doesn't pay for being able to build that length of a road.
Well, I mean, I understand your point of the value. I mean, that's probably correct. But, you know, I've been on the other end of that, and I built that road and put a cul-de-sac in. And so I'm just wondering why on a subdivision we should not have a road to county specifications when you don't know who the lots are going to be sold to. You're going to be required to have a maintenance agreement because the county's not going to be liable for that.
That's correct.
And the last time I checked, Mr. Lank or somebody could opine if I'm wrong, but that county road spec is a lot more relaxed than a state road spec, so it's less expensive and it's done for a reason. But isn't there a cul-de-sac required at the end of that, at the dead end of a road like that?
It would be. It'd be the length of the cul-de-sac would have to comply with DLDOT requirements. Also, even though DLDOT's not doing any construction, they have limitations also.
Radius.
And it has to be a 50-foot radius, and the improvements as far as the roadway should, typically from DLDOT and county engineering, is a 38-foot area so that emergency vehicles can make a turn around, basically.
Other than that, it looks like the application is pretty straightforward. I have no further
questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what type of roadway are you wanting to put in?
Most likely, be somewhere between, I would say, you know, maybe 12 to 16 feet wide, just a typical, probably a driveway access to, that would just access the.
So you're talking crush, talking crush and run, or?
It'd probably be crush and run, yeah.
Well, if you put in a 20-foot county spec street, it's only four lots. The crush and run would be permitted at, because it's only four lots. And but it would be 20-foot wide with swales on both sides for drainage purposes. So you're looking at a width of the improvements to 12 to 16 rather than 20.
That's
right, and I believe the road section, though, is I think it's six. It'd be 6 inches of stone versus, you know, Mr. Perry being able to build the driveway with a little bit lesser pavement thickness.
Well, if it's crush or run, it wouldn't require pavement.
With a little bit thicker, less thicker base.
What they typically do would require you to put the base in, and you just don't pave it.
Correct.
And if you don't, so there's a substantial reduction in the cost to make any improvements. It's got to be swaled on both sides or one side to provide drainage, whichever the design calls for based on the Sussex Conservation District. But it's 20 foot.
20 foot wide, not 12 or 16.
I don't think you're, how are you going to get two cars to pass on 12 foot?
Exactly.
If you look at it for emergency vehicles, so you got 900 foot of depth and you need to, somebody needs to get to the rear and be able to turn around, and it's going to need a cul-de-sac. Observation.
That crush or run, that's the one that where it's got to have a 2 acre average.
Awesome. I'm thinking of the old rig. The old rig was just four lots. If it was four lots, it had to be a crush. It couldn't be crush or run. Any more than that would require pavement.
Any more than four would require pavement.
That was the old rig. I was thinking that's what the rig still stood. I wasn't even looking into that. I'm just thinking of the old four lot regulation was crush or run if it's four lots or less.
So the current regulation is what?
More. Had to have payment.
2 acre lots or more.
No, I wouldn't think about the size.
No, you're right.
I think we're both right, Shane.
For developments of four lots or less, the service may be 2 inches crush or run. We took out the 2 acre average.
Yeah, and it's over an approved subgrade.
Yes,
I believe too. Yes.
So we're agreed as crush and run.
But they're asking for a waiver. I thought maybe they were asking for a waiver because I haven't had a conversation with the applicant that they're asking for a waiver so they wouldn't have to put the crusher on it. But that's not the case, I guess.
No, it would be a stone driveway going back. I mean, that would probably be about the, you know, that would be the only way that you could possibly market these four types of lots. So.
But what you're asking for is a reduction in the width of the.
The reduction in the width is basic. And again, you know, there's creating the swales, and I mean, if that's the desires of the commission, we could go with the 2 inches, the crusher run 20 feet wide. I don't think that would provide that much of a hardship, I wouldn't believe, to be able to put something like that in.
Along with the swales?
Along with the swales, that's correct, yes.
And the storm erosion sediment and stormwater control design is going to be subject to the county engineering, public works, and the conservation district in this situation, no matter what you put in.
That's correct.
A swale could be adequate on one side, depending on design, or it could be on both sides required, depending on design.
Okay.
And due to the size of the parcel and the tax base being there, it may not be necessary for a stormwater pond unless you do some infiltration or something of that nature. But there's got to be stormwater control. Right?
Right. And again, I mean, as far as the road requirement is concerned, we were taking the lot lines, and again, I'll just make this case, that the lots were the easements within each of the lots to have, again, a right-of-way that's outside of the ownership of the lots. That means all four lots would have to basically bear the cost of owning this right-of-way. At least with, you know, the way I look at it is if each lot owns a portion of this easement that goes across, I think it would be to their benefit to maintain that road. Sometimes in subdivisions, you know, if If it's not on your lot, you don't worry about it. But with this, it's on your lot, so you may take more of an ownership to each of that road. But I can see where, you know, I don't think providing a 20-foot wide driveway back with the with crusher run is going to, and swales on both sides, I can see that wouldn't provide much of a hardship. But if it's the requirement, the road requirement within Sussex County that the right-of-way be dedicated or be separate from the lots, we could still do the four lots. We have plenty of area to do that. But again, it's all about the maintenance of that in the future, and it's about the I don't know. I think it would be more of a, they would take more of an ownership within that road, each lot owner, rather than it's, again, not on my lot, I'm not going to worry about it.
And the parcel to the east of this is owned by whom?
Everybody has a right to use
it. That would be Mr. Perry's aunt.
And she lives on the property? I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Mr. Burton.
I don't know that I agree with your theory on having the individual ownership of the driveway, just because if I own the last lot, you own the first lot, and you're not taking care of your driveway, then I'm getting my car muddy every time I come down the lane. Where if it was a dedicated area and there was a maintenance agreement, then everybody would have shared maintenance. That's just my theory. I don't know that we've ever done one like this, have we?
Yes. Yes, you have.
Yeah, there's been some. And like some of the three-lot ones we do are like that, you know, where that's on an easement where the easement runs across somebody other's property or lots.
Usually those are on a pre-existing.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Existing
yeah.
lot, and somebody comes in and says, "Is this an
easement?
I already have the driveway. We're going to add a lot," and you do that, you know, usually for a family member or something, for a subdivision. I'm like you, I do. Yeah. That's why I questioned it. I don't remember it.
So the first variance that you're asking for is the variance for the where the tax ditch is on the left-hand side of your drawing, and then left-hand side, the buffer on the left-hand side of the draw.
Just this section here, as I interpret the code.
And if the code said buffer down the right-hand side of the drawing, right, then you would be requesting the same buffer relief where the tax ditch is.
Yes. Well, if it says it's down this side of the road, I would have to move the easement further in and then provide the 20 foot down, but that's again
open for determination.
That's correct.
Okay. And how do you plan on crossing that tax ditch? You're just going to culvert it?
Yes, we'll put a culvert in. Yes. And we'll work with the tax ditch association on the size and the construction of that.
Good deal. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Lank?
No question.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
None, thanks.
Mr. Davidson, we thank you for your representation of Mr. Perry's application. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone from the public has an interest in your application. Anyone here would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2013-9? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2013-9?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Robert Witzel here on behalf of Annette Stellhorn and her brother Tony and the Nero family. If I could, do you mind if Ms. Stellhorn comes up and takes this seat with me? Thank you very much. Ray, if you'd like to come up next to the witness. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. Many of the questions that we had in reviewing this application for critiquing and opposition have been raised by you. Mr. Lank, should I pass these out or
hand them down?
Sure. I'll pass them.
And maybe there's one for the file, and I think you have more than enough for
the count. The application certainly leaves a lot of questions open for debate. Many of the important questions have been already addressed, but we have some specific comments on them. I'll be introducing Annette Stellhorn in just a moment, who is the property owner immediately to the west of the property, and she's going to tell you about the unrecorded agreements that basically created a huge history of agricultural farming use on this property and facilitated a very important spray irrigation system that passes almost entirely through the subject parcel, with the pivot and pump station being right here that presently serves or has until 2012 all of the adjacent parcels. And we've got some photographs to show that. I listened to Mr. Davidson's presentation, and I too have never quite heard of the method of gaining access to these really four lots. It's a three-lot subdivision with a remaining parcel, which most likely will be improved upon. I imagine they're going to try to gain access from Whitesville Road. But I think in looking at it and listening, it's a recipe for disaster and also a recipe for broken promises, in addition to the broken promises that have already been have incurred over the years, which we'll discuss in just a minute. Clearly, there needs to be a waiver. It was an unintended waiver, I think. It wasn't set forth in the application or the applicant's presentation for the east side of the property. As you recall, we were discussing this type of buffer with Sussex Shores and the development immediately to the north of it. We oppose, strenuously oppose, any waiver of that buffer for two reasons. One, the land itself is surrounded by agricultural uses. That necessarily causes dust, dirt, agricultural annoyances, noise from tractors. The buffer zone is necessary not only to protect the farmland from residential complaints, but to protect the lot owners from all of the sometimes disturbing activities from farmland use that have been occurring over the past century. Before I get any further, I'd like to introduce Annette Stellhorn to you. Annette, would you come up and stand next to me and introduce yourself?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Annette Nero Stellhorn.
And Annette, you own the property immediately to the east of this parcel, west of this
west,
parcel?
West, correct.
And who owns the parcel immediately to the east?
That wood was sold by Esther Perry to a mortgage company in a reverse mortgage. So I spoke to her today. She was unwell, but she provided me the survey of what she gave to that company showing the ground. The back 3 acres are intended to be tilled and farmed, and we have that in your copy.
While you mentioned that survey, gentlemen, that is one. The fifth page in the packet that I've provided to you. Annette, do you know the reason for the creation of the survey?
Absolutely. When she was unwell and she had to get one of those reverse mortgages because all she had was the asset, she was involved and knew of the promise that the back acreage should always stay farmland as it has been, and she wanted to make sure that whoever she sold the property to kept to that promise as well, and I have been in a lot of contact with her, and she has my support here
Has she and her family complied with that promise on that parcel to date?
Absolutely, to date.
And is the crosshatch area on that survey indicative of the area that's farmland and is being served by the irrigation system?
Correct.
On the page before that in my package is a letter from Anthony Perry and Catherine Perry Parker, I presume his wife, to you.
Sister.
When did you receive this?
I received it after I sent our agreement that his father made with me and my father. He called me at my office in Baltimore and said, you know, we can't get the 1 acre, something about you need 5 acres for a double wide or a trailer back in the early 90s. I was in my 20s, but he called and said, you know, we can't do the 1 acre, but I'll honor, you can farm that. As long as you farm, you can have the back acreage. You just pay the taxes. So since 1991, my father's been paying the taxes. My father passed away in 2010, and I took over. And in 2012, when I sent the tax check for reimbursement, he sent it back and said that we can't honor the verbal agreement anymore.
Now, this verbal agreement was between whom?
It was between his father, Esther Perry's husband, which were both brothers, and myself and my father.
And
you know, Mr. Woodson, I'm going to...
I knew, Mr. Robertson, you'd be bringing this up, but there is evidence, there's part performance.
Yeah, but the problem is that the land is zoned AR1, and, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I think there's, you know, some concerns.
Detrimental alliance?
Well, but it's zoned AR1, and they don't own this property, you know, and whether maybe some contract that you can try to prove, I don't know how that comes into the realm of a subdivision application. I mean, they have a center pivot irrigation system that they sort of put in at their own peril without any ownership or agreement, and I don't even know that that really matters when we're looking at agriculturally, residentially zoned land, and we've got to look at whether the subdivision application meets the requirements for AR land.
Interesting.
However, as you stated, the agricultural system was based upon a promise and an agreement, and it is there now. And the subdivision of this property is essentially going to eliminate that system. So it is very relevant what promises were made because the parties detrimentally.
How is that relevant to a subdivision application? That may be relevant in terms of the planning or lack of planning, you know, in terms of selling off parcels of land without any agreement. They can be used for purposes other than agricultural lands, but I just don't know how relevant that is for a subdivision application. I mean, I'm not unsympathetic to the situation your folks have, but just in terms of what the commission has to consider, you know, if we were to deny something based upon that, I don't know that that would withstand legal challenge.
Well, I understand. It's an issue that I think is relevant. We'll leave it at that.
I mean, I think everybody on the commission understands, you know, the position your clients have made. So,
There are extremely relevant issues. And the first, you've mentioned the 20-foot wide buffer on the east side of the property is never intended by the applicant. He's now requesting a waiver. We believe that's inappropriate. And you may have just seat just for a minute. The application seems to totally ignore the 50-foot setback from a boundary line from agricultural areas to any buildable structure. It's not indicated on the plan. The plan does show a 20-foot buffer on the west side and a 20-foot building restriction line. We believe that that is not sufficient, that there needs to be another 10 feet added on the west side. Additionally, on the north, it provides a 15-foot building restriction line with a 20-foot buffer area, and that we contend is 15 feet short from the 50-foot agricultural buffer. The east side seems to be taken care of, at least from the 50-foot setback from any structure by the right-of-way. So we think the application is deficient for failure to show the 50-foot agricultural buffer area, setback area. As to the streets, we question why that the TEC was not required, was not complied with. Why wouldn't you come to the county and try to get the county's recommendations and approvals for your roadway? This seems to be a nightmare issue. And Mr. Burton, we entirely agree with your suggestion that this will leave the last property owner, if not the last two property owners, in limbo. We believe that you should require, as you do for all subdivisions, that there be a submission of a set of restrictive covenants and that the homeowners association become responsible for the perpetual maintenance of a common area, such as the streets and the culvert and or bridge over the tax ditch. We have no idea how that's going to be maintained if it's just installed. The tax ditch people shouldn't be responsible for that. We've heard no representations as to how that's to be maintained. To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Abbott, there's not been any submission of restrictive covenants that Mr. Robertson has reviewed for this subdivision.
Weren't any in the file, no.
There weren't any as of 1 o'clock this afternoon. The tax ditch itself, and I would ask Ray Vincent to come forward. Ray, would you come up? Would you introduce yourself, please?
Good evening. My name is Ray Vincent.
And Ray, where do you live?
On Salt Barn Road.
Are you the farmer who has
towed the
property?
I'm the current tenant, yes.
How long have you done that, sir?
14 or 15 years.
Would you describe the nature of the tax ditch on the premises?
Well, the tax ditch is, it starts at Waitsville Road and heads north to the corner. You can see it in this, in that drawing here. Up here at Whitesville Road and comes up and then goes across. And it's about 15 feet wide, probably 5 feet deep. It's a fairly sizable tax ditch.
Is it accurately depicted on page 7, the photograph on page 7?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. And it's the Elliott Nichols tax,
right.
Tax ditch.
Right.
It essentially divides the subdivision, does it not?
It does.
And what is the... Do you cross this with your farm equipment now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you briefly tell the commission the nature of the agricultural lands as they presently exist on the subject parcel?
Mostly that farm has been used for high production vegetable crops. Occasionally we do put grain on there, but just in rotation. But it's a superior piece of farmland for vegetable production for Western Sussex.
On page 6 of our packet, you have included a Google map of the agricultural irrigation system.
Right. What's highlighted in yellow or outlined in yellow will be the area that will no longer be served by the pivot.
If the subdivision is approved.
That's right.
and access is no longer gained.
That's right. And you'll see the total there. It says 20 and a half acres will not be able to be irrigated.
What effect would that have on the rest of the Nero's property?
Well, it's certainly going to diminish the value of the farm because in Western Sussex, irrigated or irrigatable land is significantly more valuable than land that is not irrigatable or is not suitable for irrigation. You know, with even the state of Delaware and their requirements for leasing their state parks and wildlife lands, they now encourage the tenants to irrigate because it has less environmental impact because the fertilizers that are applied are being utilized more efficiently. We're not getting groundwater leaching, groundwater runoff. And so they're encouraging their tenants to irrigate. And, you know, removing 20 acres of this 50 acres, you know, there will be no... I sell drip irrigation, and the way this parcel is going to come up in the middle, it's going to be impossible to even irrigate it with drip irrigation. It won't be feasible. So it'll turn into dry land, Western Sussex soil, which is not profitable and not desirable.
You heard the representations of the applicant's land use designer concerning gravel roads, a pressure
right.
run. Have you had experience with that kind of roadway as a driveway?
Yeah, with the freezing and thawing and that soil, you know, the tax ditches are there for a reason. There's water. That soil is prone to hold water, and it doesn't flood. And the only reason that it is productive farmland is because the ditch is there so we can get the water away. It holds water very well. Conversely, when it holds water, the subsoil is going to be more plastic, and it's going to be much harder to maintain a gravel road over time. You know, I'm not a soil engineer, but I'm working it every day. Without totally removing that topsoil and going down and getting a firm base, and then putting the crusher run on top of it or something else is the only way that road's going to hold up. Otherwise, it will not hold up. It's going to be a two-rutted road, and how's an ambulance or a fire engine going to get down a two-rutted road in after a six-inch rain like we had 2 weeks ago? It's not going to happen.
Thank you, sir. You may sit down. Gentlemen, we believe that the proposed application does not meet the individual requirements of Sussex County Code Section 99.9C, 1, 13, and 16, and in that the subdivision is not properly integrated with the surrounding landscape, with the farmland around it, that it will have a detrimental effect on the preservation and conservation of farmland, that it's not compatible with any other adjacent farmland uses and irrigation systems for reasons that the subject property has been tilled, farmed, and irrigated for years by mutual agreement, and that irrigation system will be essentially eliminated by the approval and development of the subdivision. In addition, sections 9 and 10 of 99.9C are not complied with in that there is no description on the plan of any stormwater management swales. There's no swales adjacent to the roadway at all. I think the application describes a relatively inexpensively installed subdivision that is centrally divided by a tax ditch across which there is no planned maintenance of any roadway or bridge or culvert. The applicant hasn't provided any approval by the tax ditch authority, no recommendations, no comments whatsoever from the tax ditch. We don't even know at this time whether or not the tax ditch can handle this additional water flow. And finally, in the packet of information that you've received from the Division of Water Resources of the Delaware DNREC, they state that this project represents a major land development which will result in three residential units in an investment level 4 area according to the state strategies update map. IL-4 indicates that where state investments will support agricultural preservation, natural resource protection, and the continuation of these rural nature of these areas. New development activities and suburban development are not supported in IL-4 areas. These areas are compromised of prime agricultural lands, which this acreage is, and environmentally sensitive wetlands and wildlife habitats that we do not have on this property, which should be preserved, mainly the agricultural lands. Based on this information, that division recommends that the development is inconsistent with the strategies for state policies and spending, and we ask you to concur with that. We also have had no comments whatsoever from the applicant as to what type of homes might or might not be placed on this property. We are of the opinion that mobile homes could be placed on here. We've had no representation of the quality of homes that are to be developed on this. All in all, it seems like the applicants are trying to do this on the cheap and put the onus of maintenance on each property owner, which, as we know from the past, is a total failure. I think that if you approve this, the community improvement program will have this subdivision on its list within 3 or 4 years for improvement of the roadways. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Witzel, for getting your presentation on the record. And is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this application, subdivision 2013-9? Does anyone else on the commission or staff have a follow-up question? If none, then
Chairman, I just have a point of clarification.
Yes, sir. Please.
There was testimony, I thought, that said that due to the reverse mortgage that the property is owned by the bank, whereas to the contrary, in the reverse mortgage, the property is still owned by the landowner, and the bank or mortgage company will place a lien against it, but the property still actually would be owned by the original property owner.
That's the next door property.
Right, that's not the one that's under consideration. No, it's just the one next door.
That's accurate as far as how that works.
Well, with that said, I will close the public hearing. Invite you to spend the rest of the evening here to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office tomorrow.